gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. On air, online, and I'm you streaming.
Yes, you are.
I'm on the TV camera.
And you look pretty in yellow.
Thank you. I'm wearing an X hat, which is not, as they're saying in the chat room, rated, it's not a porn hat.
No.
It's a Barbara Boxer hat.
Yes.
Woohoo!
And there's a link to the Ustream.
X as in Boxer!
That's right. There's a link to the Ustream on your Facebook page and on your Twitter feed, which is also on the front page of StephanieMiller.com.
They did not let us wear hats when I began as a dancer at the Itchy Kitty in Reseda. There were no baseball hats allowed, so this is not a porn hat.
No baseball hats allowed then? You're certainly making up for it now.
Yes. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. A big show. We have Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, coming up early today.
That's right.
Because we have a jam-packed show coming up in less than half an hour. Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe. And then Kathleen Madigan, the comedian extraordinaire, whom we love,
joins
us in studio all of hour two. She is hilarious out here in L.A. to do a show. And then we've got Nora O'Donnell from MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
With a new book out, and Jim can get all squeezy with her.
Yes.
All right.
Well, her book is it's a cookbook for toddlers.
It's about babies, so Jim will have to dial it back. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, I believe Mama's doing the Ed Show today on MSNBC.
Oh?
That's what I'm told.
Okay.
Unless, of course, I'm bumped for something important, which is pretty much everything except for...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
I love how I hear about this during the show.
You know how it is. It's always it's a slidey. You know, I don't usually confirm till the day of.
Okay.
Yeah, I got booked last week, and then, you know, you have to see if anything important happens.
Well, a hiker was freed in Iran.
Well, see, I could be bumped already, and I don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is, you know what, sometimes the first segment just writes itself, because I'm just anticipating that I will get good hate mail, because every time I go on TV, I do.
Yeah. This came
However,
through
can
like...
I have some nostalgia music? Because this, Chris, this is like ghosts of Christmas past.
Yeah, this came for you the Friday before vacation, so we couldn't get
this
to it before vacation.
Awesome. Who sends snail mail anymore? This is the snail mail version. This is an actual letter version.
Hold it up to the camera.
Oh, yeah, you got to see this crap. Look at that, you streamers. Look at that. Look at that. 16 different kinds of magic marker. This guy has a lot of Sharpies.
Yes, he does, in various colors.
Which I got to, you know what, you got to give it up for him for that. That is impressive. Look at that. Chris, he has good purple and green and red and blue. They must give him quite a selection to calm him in the place where he may be residing. Okay, so remember we used to get hate letters the old-fashioned way, the horse-drawn way, in the mail, like this.
Steam-driven.
Yes, this is the old snail mail version of the guy that can't get all his hate stuff out of the subject line.
Yes.
Because this guy is... Okay, first of all, the first most hilarious thing about it is he, and I didn't realize it till you told me, there is every square inch of the envelope is written on with insults.
Yes.
But there's no letter in it.
It's a sealed envelope.
He can't figure out how to open an envelope, which is the version of the guy that can't get out of the subject line. Just write, you bitch, whore, cow, C-word, dope. And then there's like, you could tell he just cannot get into the big box.
Oh, and now
he's not familiar with the email, and he doesn't. His wife, Lurleen, won't show him how to get in the big box. And so this guy either is incapable of knowing how to open an envelope, or he's not aware that normally you write on the piece of paper in the envelope.
And now that you're out... the insults go beyond the bitch whore cow stuff.
Oh, listen, it's a whole new level of insults, which I had been anticipating with great glee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just one more name that they put in with all the other ones.
Yeah. I have to admit he gets creative
by the way,
with those insults.
Various speculation about various things that I'm an elderly shut-in ex-Catholic girl. I don't do any of this stuff. He says. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. Okay, so generally, the theme of the letters like this, Chris, or the emails, is that I'm an idiot.
Right.
And generally, those letters have horrible spelling and punctuation.
Yes.
First of all, you didn't spell my name right. It's Stephanie. Stephanie Miller. And then care of our station here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. You get to give it to him. Sure. Figured that out. You got it here. Okay. Let's see. Is there a name here? He doesn't sign it.
Of course not. He's too
Aw, how will I know scared. Who you are? I want to tell Rebecca to put him right through if he calls, though. Okay, so let's... I'm not really... Where do you really start, Chris, when it's an envelope?
Is there a figure that out. Of the, there's no salutation?
I'm old school. I'm used to... I had the school desk with the inkwells. Like, I'm used to a greeting and a salutation, and then a body of the letter, an indentation, and then a...
Are you really so old that you had an inkwell?
Well, I don't think we used it, but it was still there.
Oh, okay.
It was, you know, in the little wooden desk in Catholic school. Okay. Let's see here. And he's chosen purple to begin.
Oh, good. So we will choose purple as well.
After, because it's grapey.
Grapey.
After listening to your show once, I can tell that you're a foul-mouthed, liberal, out-of-touch, never-had-a-real-job atheist whore. And whore underlined in green, hopefully, in case I missed that.
Well, you're not an atheist. I'm the atheist.
And this may come as a shock to him, but this is actually a real job. This is my job, and I've actually had many before that, including, washing small planes and cleaning yogurt machines. And
yeah, but you've
I've actually had a lot of real jobs.
You've had a radio job
and
since...
And I was a cocktail waitress at Fung Lam, during which I had to wear a polyester kimono.
You've been in radio...
I started working in high school. I worked at the Palace Theater in Lockport. I was in the movie theater thing.
And you've been in radio since the early to mid-80s, right?
Yeah. Yeah. God, but I gave Marconi the idea. Okay, now I'm not sure where to... Oh, wait a minute. I missed something in green. The pathetic, the gender confused Stephanie Miller.
Oh.
So he also has a little salutation. It was sort of a salutation.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you really think that your comment... he's only heard one.
Yeah.
Do you really think that your comment... commentary!
Oh!
Sorry, something happened. He had a sort of brain-related event in the middle of that word. Do you believe that your commentary means anything to mainstream America, you pathetic queer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, over here in black, to the right of the... who uses the strap-on, you or your bitch?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's the part I don't...
No, no.
He doesn't listen carefully enough.
No,
I don't,
no, you're too Catholic
nothing,
to use a strap-on.
Going on with nothing here. You are a zero nobody. Oh, that's kind of from Mahogany, my favorite movie.
Do you know where you're going to?
You're a nobody. Nobody.
And then you drip candle wax on your chest.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. He's underlined zero. Okay, now we're flipping, turning over in red. Why? This is normally where the return address should be, so
sure.
That I could write him back and thank him. Why would an atheist pervert... Okay, first of all, not an atheist and...
Not really
not
a pervert.
Not a pervert. No. Don't have much of a social life enough to be a pervert of any kind, but thank you for your belief in me. Why would an atheist pervert like you have any opinion about the Ground Zero Mosque?
Because...
I'm not allowed to have an opinion of any kind because I'm an atheist pervert.
Mm.
You've lost all credibility. Oh, I love the fact that he thinks I once had it. That's hopeful. Sometimes there are slivers of light in these letters. You have lost all credibility as a talk show host because of your now, quote-unquote, open gayness.
Uh-huh.
It's well noted and always comes to pass that the gay mind, and that's in quotes.
The gay mind? All right.
Is abnormal. It's abnormal. I am an abnormal brain! You brought me an You brought me an abnormal brain, didn't you?
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Perhaps he could help me with this hump that passes from my brain. Okay.
Perhaps I could help you with that hump. What hump?
Okay, and it is deficient. These are all underlined, so I'll understand, because clearly my mind is abnormal in the first place.
And
is deficient and perverse in its thinking processes. Why? Oh, here's my favorite line. Why does idiots like you... I think...
Yeah, a little subject-verb agreement problem there.
Why do idiots... Why does idiots like you... This is kind of another version of Get a Brain, Moran's.
Yeah.
This is great. Why does idiots like you have to use obscenity and ill-mannered language? Oh, and I guess his calling me a whore would not be considered.
And who uses the strap on you or your bitch? No, that's not...
That's not ill-mannered or obscene in any way.
Not at all.
No. And ill-mannered language to make a point. It's because your audience are pathetic liberal retards.
Oh.
All right, then. And then he ran out of room and ink and a purple Sharpie. And that's the way all great literature ends. War and Peace would have been longer.
Yeah.
Ran out of purple Sharpie.
Hold it up to the camera again. So.
Ran out of purple Sharpie. Yeah. That's the end. It's because your audience are. That should also be is.
Yeah.
He's, you know what? This was good except for the subject-verb agreement.
Agreement.
Yeah. The pathetic liberal returns. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Yeah, you know what? He's this envelope's never been opened. He couldn't figure it out. He didn't even know how to.
But envelopes don't come
well
sealed.
I wonder what he sealed it with. Ew.
No! Oh,
man, that one made me puke.
Oh, dude.
I've gotten a few of those letters. Apparently, I haven't seen the right one yet. That would Apparently, there's a spot somewhere in there that hasn't been touched the right way by the right man, and that's the thing there.
Didn't
and then some people are apparently the owners of the only penis that actually could. So I appreciate your belief in yourself on that.
Haven't some people written you and asked you for another autographed picture because the previous one had been used?
Uh-huh. Many, many, many men have asked me for yes, there's got dirty some way.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, yes, he seemed to have kind of an aggression and a weird attraction at the same time.
Yeah.
A little bit of magic. A little bit of
I
magic.
I think he likes you.
He wants to
date you.
He wants to kiss me. Oh, boy. Okay, then. And I'm guessing he might need a strap. Oh, come on. I'm just saying, let's not go there. You know.
Who uses a strap on, he or his bitch?
All right, let's, you know what, let's just leave that lay there. Let's just go back to saying thank you. You know what it is, I come in, I have other things planned for the first segment, I'm like, all right, well, that's...
there it goes.
There's our first segment, because I gotta... I'm like a kid, it's like there's a pony sitting there. I can't talk about anything else until I talk about the pony.
Yeah.
19 minutes after the hour, back with Charlie Pearson, much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. Charlie Pearce joins us in just a few minutes. Joe in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Well, I have a rebuttal to that envelope. And
oh,
he insulted all your listeners, and I would like him to know that I are not an idiot. Thanks.
I would like a bunch of envelopes of support, please. Make up for that guy.
Oh, boy.
That's all I'm saying. Andrea in Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, Andrea.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I just had to share, as another member of your liberal, retarded, elite audience members, you know, I really feel awful about not having that person's approval, and I may have to retire to my fainting couch.
All right.
You know, you really have to feel sorry for him, though, because he's really just afraid of catching the gay cooties.
Apparently. Would you like to slam down your little 1940s telephone now?
Yes, parking Bart or how many other names and numbers I have to have of my phone number there. So.
All right, there you go. Thank you. We'll all be on the fainting couch. Harumph. Oh, look. Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem are expecting a baby.
Good for them.
That's going to be a beautiful baby. I hope they put the birth video online, and I hope it's in subtitles.
Do you know who either of them are?
I do. You know what I just saw over the vacation? I saw, or not over, what do you call it? Eat, Pray, Love. Why?
Because you're
it has,
a chick.
Because it has Julia Roberts in it. If Julia Roberts is in it, I love it.
That's such a chick flick.
Pretty shiny. I love it. He's hunky, though. He's handsome. I've never seen, I don't know if I've seen a lot of things with him in it, but he was in that. He has an enormous head.
He was.
I'm just saying, that baby is going to, that is not going to be fun. For Penelope Cruz. That's the biggest head I've ever seen on a human.
He was really scary and creepy in No Country for Old Men.
I heard, but you know, my mama doesn't see scary movies, so there.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
That was a great movie.
Yes. So was Eat, Pray, Love. Oh, my God, I love the chick movie so much. Oh, although it was a little long. It kind of was a little literal. It was like, oh, here's the eating section. Oh, now we're praying. Oh, okay. Yeah, so it was it could have been, they could have edited a skosh.
A little bit, yeah.
Much like I could have in this segment here. All right, let's, wow, I just want to say, you know, in case you're having a worse morning than I am, what with my hate envelope and all.
You can't even call it a hate letter, because it's not a letter.
No, it's a hate envelope. It's the new thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to write me, please, write me a hate envelope now. okay, this is a, I'm sorry, breaking some news out about Thomaston, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how bad your morning's going, you are not the couple that found a used tampon in their cereal.
Oh, dude! Oh!
Man, that one made me puke.
You know what? Does this seem like phony lawsuit to you?
Seems like phony lawsuit to me. I read this
because this
story
is beyond gross.
Yeah.
Was Tiger Woods involved in this at all? Because I don't. You know, there's a gross story in the parking lot. Never mind. Okay, an Upson County couple is suing a grocery store chain in federal court, claiming the husband found it. See the husband.
Yeah.
Guys can't even just see the box of those clean, for God's sakes.
No.
On the back of the toilet, it's...
You keep them on the back of the toilet?
Yes. Where else do you keep them?
In the cabinet.
Listen,
so you don't have to see them.
When it's time, you need to have them handy. I know. Men are just grossed out even the box.
Yes.
See? That's why they call it feminine protection, because you could use it. You don't even need a gun. You could just whip a box of Tampax. I'm like, guys would be like, ew, ew, ew. I'm like, get away from me. Can super plus.
Before your party, can you at least put them in a cabinet
somewhere? No, I'm going to put them everywhere. I'm going to decorate with them now.
Oh, no.
I'm going to hang them in the trees outside instead of my white lights.
Yeah, you might as well, because you're not going to need them for much longer.
Oh, shut up. Go ahead, do my eggs, because it makes you happy. Okay, Thomas and Lynn Roddenberry said they bought a box of chocolate chip crunch cereal. Oh, first of all, that's gross. From a Save-A-Lot store. Well, I guess you can save a lot if you don't mind a used tampon in your chocolate chip crunch.
Hmm.
That's why you save a lot, because you never know what's in there. It's a chocolate chip crunch, maybe other stuff.
Whatever.
A day after buying the cereal, Thomas Roddenberry said he discovered the tampon in his bowl after taking a bite. The cereal, he said, he spit out the cereal immediately, became nauseated, and went to an emergency room.
When you're pouring the cereal in a bowl,
that's a big prize. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not a... Normally, a prize would be smaller. So that would seem to be a tip-off.
Yeah, this has fake lawsuit written all over it.
I mean, that's like a, you know... yeah, it would be like a body landing in your bowl. That's not a small Cracker Jack prize there. That's...
Yeah, this is... fake lawsuit.
Think so?
Yeah. You know, like when in Victor Victoria, when Julie...
Yes.
What's her name? Puts the fly in the soup in
the
restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody at some point went, honey, I got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bingo. Daddy's going to buy some new shoes. All right. 29 minutes. We apologize for that visual. 29 minutes after the hour.
Crunch berries.
That's not a very crunchy berry.
No.
29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
First one on the scene selling erotic t-shirts.
Stephanie Miller.
Been farting. That one was not erotic to everybody.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Comedian Kathleen Madigan, who is hilarious, joins us live in studio all next hour, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tuesdays, it's my favorite. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America. Pierce. Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Wah, 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 wah. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hello, you Kenyan anti-colonialist Wonder Woman, you.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
What's up with nudie?
I hear the crayon crowd is checking in today.
Yes. No, actually the Sharpie crowd, to be more.
the people who can't quite get the concept that the hate mail is supposed to go in the envelope.
In the envelope. Oh, by the way, we scanned the hate envelope?
Yeah.
Or we will.
We will scan it, yes.
Yes, and it'll be on StephanieMiller.com.
Do you suppose that, like, the guy got back to his little, you know, Cheeto-stained wallpapered apartment with his, you know, five dead cats in the living room and looked at his desk and, you know, there was the letter sitting on the desk and he went, damn, I forgot to put it in again.
Oh, I had a lot more good stuff in there.
right next to like 9 years of prescriptions for Thorazine.
I'm surprised there aren't orange fingerprints all over this
thing.
Yeah,
the Cheeto-stained.
Yeah.
In Cheeto-stained rage. So, Charlie Pierce, well, now that you brought up the nudie, yeah, what the, frankly?
Look,
with Newt Gingrich.
The guy is a megalomaniacal nut, and he's always been a megalomaniacal nut.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's been given this kind of aura of being a conservative thinker. But, I mean, the one thing we have to remember was Newt Gingrich was no less crazy after his people won in 94
right.
than he was the day before. And that's what
right.
we have to remember when the primaries go through today. If, you know, the anti-vibrator candidate there in Delaware wins. And, you know, she's no nuttier, she's no less nutty tomorrow than she is today, just because
right.
she wins the primary, okay?
Well, you know,
but
and Charlie,
Newt,
but what's...
Newt has gone for the long-term crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone, you know, the arc of whatever it is bends towards justice. The arc of Newt's career bends towards crazy.
Well, and here's the thing, and we should talk quietly, Charlie, so they don't remember how this all ended, the whole let's shut the government down. And let's listen to what Newt Gingrich says.
Well, not just that, but if we're going to suddenly turn anti-colonialism into, like, an epithet, don't we have to cancel the 4th of July?
Yeah. Just for those of you that have just tuned in, Newt Gingrich apparently trying to gain the support of birthers by suggesting President Obama subscribes to, quote, Kenyan anti-colonial behavior. Robert Gibbs said, I don't even have, quite frankly, the slightest idea what he's talking about. I think Newt Gingrich knows that he's trying to appeal to the fringe of people that don't believe the president
is
part of this
country. And
worse
than that, getting his ideas from Dinesh D'Souza, which is like getting, determining you're going to run a marathon and filling your, like, water bottle in one of those lagoons of pig feces in North Carolina.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's exactly
But Robert Gibbs made the point, Charlie, and that's what we're saying. It's just, you know, he was the Speaker of the House. That's the difference is between this and what's happening with the Tea Party, which we'll get
that.
To. The lunatic fringe is the mainstream Republican Party now.
Oh, more than that, go back and read the encomiums in places like Newsweek and Time Magazine after the 94 midterms. He was the greatest strategic thinker since Churchill.
Yeah.
This is a guy, by the way, who's one of his wives. I can't remember which one of the divorce actions it was, testified that he would doodle on his pieces of paper, definer of the rules of civilization.
Wow.
This guy couldn't even define the rules of adultery.
Exactly.
He was a little good at it.
He was a little fuzzy at that. All right. Let's talk about primary season today. So now talk to me about
Massachusetts, so we have nothing to do up here, but go ahead.
Yes. But tell us about the Christine O'Donnell surge in Delaware.
Oh, the surge is the word, by the way.
Yes.
The surge is the word.
Yeah.
Well, you really have to hand it to her. Well, no. See what I did there? No.
What did she actually you have to talk slowly and tell Mama what she said exactly.
I do?
Yes.
Oh, this will be fun.
Okay.
Can you tell Jim and Chris to leave the room? Because I really don't think.
Okay.
Leave Uncle Charlie and Mama alone.
We have things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know. Have you ever heard the song Uncle Ernie from Tommy? Well, that's pretty much what Christine's whole platform is.
Okay.
She doesn't like fiddling about, and she doesn't want anyone fiddling about, and she doesn't think anyone should fiddle about.
Yes.
And if you fiddle
she
about,
is anti-masturbation.
Well, why did she bring that up? I know I heard this, but I just am like, what?
Who brings up masturbation
in a primary?
This is how she's going to win. You can't say anything about her positions that doesn't sound like a double entendre. So people aren't going to say anything about her.
Yeah.
She seems Mike Castle, who's only been elected to just about every public office there is in Delaware, is sitting there smacking his forehead.
Right. Well, I mean, but here's the thing. You know, you and I have had this conversation, you know, in terms of the Tea Party and their effect. I mean, it seems to me like the Republican Party is the one that's at war with the Tea Party.
Oh, I see that. Well, that's the story. That, I believe, is the story that's only now just starting to be covered a little bit.
Right.
The nuts. The nuts are out of the Christmas stocking right now.
Right.
You know, the stuff is out. The fruitcake is out of the jar, and whatever you want, however you want to put it. I mean, and there's no going back on these folks. This woman is going to wind up being the candidate for the United States Senate.
Yeah,
could wind up being the candidate for the United States Senate.
But is it going to? That's what I guess I'm asking. Is, you know, I'm reading one story today. As in previous primary, Democrats will be watching today's contest closely, hoping for additional upsets that they say will saddle Republicans with unelectable candidates.
Yeah, but what they should do is saddle every Republican with these candidates. I mean,
right.
It's one thing to say, well, you know, this makes our chances of holding on to the seat in Delaware, you know, or picking up the seat in Delaware, you know, gives us a better chance of doing that. No, every congressional candidate on every Republican ballot in the country should be saddled, you'll pardon the expression, with Christine O'Donnell.
Right. So,
I just started thinking of the movie Secretary there for a minute, and then I had to slap myself.
When you see the endorsements and you see Tea Party Express, Sarah Palin, and the NRA, you kind of go, oh, okay. And she's another one of these candidates apparently will not talk to the press because she's too stupid or they're afraid she'll say something crazy.
Because you have campaign aides who tackle her and throw her in a sack and put the sack in a steamer trunk and drive away fast.
Yeah, it's like Borat. That's how they get her from appearance to another. They put her in a sack, in a burlap sack.
I mean, at this point, it's almost to the point where I'm thinking there's absolutely no way the Republicans in Delaware can do this.
Right.
This can't happen.
Right.
You know, it's one thing, you know, I mean, Alaska, okay, you got 600 people voting or whatever, and Lisa Murkowski wasn't a barrel of laughs anyway, and so this Joe Miller guy comes, you know, walking out of the woods in his beard and his Mr. Brawny T-shirt.
Yes, he was abandoned by wolves, and they forgot to shave him before they gave him back.
It's not a bad beard, actually, and we have very few bearded politicians, and I think that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, we have a lot of
There's
beards in politics.
Charlie Crist's wife. Oh, come on now.
Oh. We both went. See, there was some reason for that.
There. Now.
Besides, he doesn't have a wife because, as you recall, the engagement was, you know, called off almost immediately after. He didn't need it anymore.
Oh.
But in any event. But besides, he's got his own problems down there with your buddy Marco.
Rubio.
Thank you.
Sorry.
There we go.
I almost said Polo. Sorry. Go ahead.
But as I said, we have nothing going on in Massachusetts at all this primary season. But I think that, you know, certainly this Delaware thing has sort of exploded in the last 3 weeks. And I find it very interesting because she hasn't done anything except be nutty.
Right.
The last couple of weeks. And
right.
That seems to be all you have to do.
But let's talk about Alaska for a minute since you brought it up. So, I mean, what are you hearing? Is Murkowski going to get in and what's going to happen with that? Because
that could get the Democrat elected, right?
Yeah,
that could. I mean, I think, old Joe Miller's got a lot of national attention and he is running against a guy who's a mayor. I mean,
are you taking a polka class while we're talking, by the way? Or?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I have the another radio station playing in the background. I'll turn it off. There
what?
We go.
Another radio station?
Cheating
on
me?
Come
you...
on. It's WWOZ in New Orleans. I'm supporting the folks.
Okay. Yay.
But anyway, I can't. Besides, I have to turn my radio down. Otherwise, I wind up echoing in my own head. And then I sound. Then I turn into Newt Gingrich.
Hello? Listen, everything you say is so smart, I would like to hear it twice.
What?
Hey.
All right. Hey.
All right.
Hey. All right. So the other obviously the big story. What's going to happen with the Muslim rumpus room that's not at Ground Zero?
I hope they build it, and I hope that because I don't want the people who are opposed to it to get a win, especially on the way they've done this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I don't like you know the ginning up hysteria until you can create a quote unquote controversy. That's really a bad thing. Someone should write a book about what the effects of that. Oh, by the way. Did you see what else has sort of surfaced this week? And this is something that is mentioned in Idiot America, How Stupidity Became a Virtue and Land of the Free, now available on paperback at most of your local bookstores, is the alleged Muslim design of the Flight 93 Memorial in Pennsylvania.
Oh, no, I
that
didn't hear that.
That was like yesterday's nutball.
Uh-huh.
But it was the trial run for what's going on in New York.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I was reading the paper the other day. I was reading a kind of an overview of this going on in New York, and somebody finally mentioned it.
Wow.
That some crazy person was saying, well, this is of a piece with that thing they're building in Pennsylvania that's really a tribute to the hijackers because it's in the shape of a crescent. And there are wind chimes that point toward Mecca.
Oh, boy.
You know, failing to point out that, you know, if you put anything anywhere on the globe, you can make it point toward Mecca. The earth being the earth being round and all.
Charlie, speaking of the Park 51 thing, so the imam said it's two blocks from Ground Zero, but the site shouldn't be seen as hallowed ground in a neighborhood that also contains a strip club and a betting parlor.
I didn't know. Is there an OTB right there, too? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, see, I didn't know that part. That's excellent.
Yes.
God, you can. I mean, it's probably the safest place for your money is to, like, go to the Islamic Center. Because otherwise you'll just be wasting your money in that area.
Well, the imam...
Well, I think Michael Moore made a good point on TV last night, and it was, I think it was on with Anderson. He was on with Anderson Cooper. Why are, if this is such sacred ground, why are we building a friggin' mall on Ground Zero?
Yeah.
And why is Old Navy some sort of a tribute? Because as he pointed out, there are 1,100 people in that place whose bodies were never found. Yeah. Why isn't this thing just a park?
Well, you know, somebody, you know, it was interesting. Someone made a point yesterday, and I think it was a relative, sadly, of someone that died, and he said, you know, well, the strip club didn't kill my son. It's like, well, the moderate cleric that's trying to open this Muslim center didn't kill your son either. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the
problem when you get into emotion. I mean, he said yesterday, he said, I'm a devout Muslim. I'm also a proud American citizen. He has a niece serving in the U.S. Army. He said, I vote in elections. I pay taxes. I pledge allegiance to the flag, and I'm a Giants fan. You know, so it's like...
Well, outside of the Giants fan thing, I mean, that's, you know, and pledging allegiance to whatever it was you just said he pledged allegiance
flag.
To.
Flag! I said flag!
Flag!
Oh, jeez. Charlie Pierce.
Why do you keep throwing Charlie Crist into every... And I'll see this come for
Stop
no
it.
To do that. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
The flag is the... No, I mean, I feel bad for this guy. I really do. Because as we know, for a long time, everybody liked this idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Laura Ingraham.
Laura Ingraham, big fan. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
thank you, Penguin. All right. Charlie Pierce.
I'll talk to you next week.
Counting the minutes till next Tuesday. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Mean it. Miss you already. Can't breathe without you. Love you more than air. Okay. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charles in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Charles.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. First the news, then the newt.
Okay. All right, the news first. Here we go. Here's Charles with the news.
Yeah. The budget deficit has gone down. $90.5 billion.
I saw that.
13% drop in the budget deficit this year.
Uh-huh.
And that was lower than the 2009 budget that Bush left us with. So that should be all over the news. But instead, we got the Newt. And Newt, you know, he has serious character flaws, you know, in his public and private life, and to the point where even that Republican Senator Colburn said he's unsuitable to be president.
Right. Yeah, except that's, you know, you saw one of Newt, who can keep track, one of his exes. It's like the cast of Gandhi.
Yeah.
But one of them said that he literally said it shouldn't matter. Doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter how I live. That has no, it's like, really?
Yeah, you got to consider the source. I mean, this guy walked out his wife, asked for a divorce while she was, you know, dying of cancer. Man, the guy, he has no class. I just wouldn't take anything this guy says seriously. This guy can definitely consider the source with this person.
Exactly. It's the same thing I think every time Dick Morris speaks. And I'm not saying he lacks class. I'm just saying you can see the prostitute toenails, you know, sometimes projectiling from his mouth, and it just to take it into account when you're considering what he's saying.
That, and he's enormous.
Well, yes, he's a human beanbag chair with eyes. Hello, John in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, Steph. I am very proud of you, and I wanted to say that I'm you're my second favorite lesbian.
Ah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Rachel.
You're supposed to say who's the first.
Who's the first?
Oh, who's the first?
Me.
Hey.
I declared myself as a lesbian now, and I'm going along with the whole thing.
All right.
That's not why I called in.
That's clever. All right, go ahead, John.
The reason I called in is
that's the most clever way anyone's ever tried to get in my pants. Congratulations, John.
Thank you.
All right.
I will always try.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a small town, and I won't be living there much longer, but I'm a transplant from Los Angeles who, due to circumstances that don't need to be explained, I ended up in a small town.
You're running from the law. Running from the law. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yes.
In Fort Worth.
Okay.
South of Fort Worth. And our school district sent us an email saying that kids can opt out of seeing Obama's speech to the students.
I know.
Today.
Did you hear this? I mean, and they did this last year. Remember, John? Mm-hmm. This is really...
Last year, I was busy. This year, I'm sitting on my butt working and had time to call everybody. So that's what I'm doing today. So I'm calling every show and everything and saying the insanity of this is pretty evident. And I called the poor secretary at the school district yesterday who's been fielding the phone calls. And she didn't want to get too specific, but the racial issue is obvious.
I mean, this is really disgusting, John, and you just cannot tell me that you ever remember this in our history with any president, despite how unpopular they were politically or otherwise.
No.
I mean, this is the president of the United States, and you know the word "united" is right in there. We are all Americans. This is our president. The fact that you know they're trying to imply that he's going to have some sneaky socialist message to you know to tell your children is.
Exactly. And I mean, I grew up in Chicago and elementary school. I mean, I remember preschool all the way through high school, all the way through college. We always had mock elections. We always mirrored what was going on politically. And you know, friends of mine, as I moved west and I lived in California
right.
for 23 years, they couldn't believe that we would actually talk about politics. And I'm like, well, back east, that's all we do talk about.
Right.
And the people in Texas, I'm in the heart of it, and all my friends in L.A. were like, you're insane for moving there. I'm like, well, you can't uplift the ignorance unless you're there to pick these maniacs up. And I've been to a couple of the teabagger town hall things, and actually our Congressman Chet Edwards, we're in the 17th district, he's actually a Democrat who survived the redistricting. And I'd like to mention him because the guy that he's running against retired from the natural gas industry 6 months ago to be the candidate for the Republicans. And he's a horrible, horrible human being. I mean, he absolutely is there so that when we have a natural gas BP disaster in our backyard, because Texas is now one of the largest drilling areas in the country other than New York and some other places, he's going to be there to cover the bases when something goes wrong.
Right.
And, I mean, look what happened in San Bruno. I mean, that...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this thing with the president, really, I got to tell you, it just disgusts me. I mean, you know, look at how much we really, a lot of people dislike George Bush and felt like these wars, you know, the war he got us into was illegal and immoral. Did you ever remember any Democrat saying he shouldn't speak to children in schools? I mean,
well,
I want to keep my child out of the school. I mean, it's like the president said last week when he said they talk about me like I'm a dog. I mean, that is absolutely true. That we have entered an era like I don't remember of disrespect for the president of the United States, in my opinion.
I think what hurt Bush was that after his display on 9/11 and reading My Pet Goat to those kids, and then having the kids 5 years later go, yeah, he kind of looked like he peed his pants after he got the message from Andy Card. It was like the hypocrisy is what killed
me. Right, but I'm just saying I don't remember any of this ever being an issue that people said, oh, I want to be able to take my kid out of school if George Bush comes and talks. It's like this is just, I mean, and I find it particularly sad, John, as somebody that ran on, you know, there's no blue states or red states, and you know, there we were, right? The United States of America. We elected the first black man, and it's just been sad the way this has played out. I think, you know,
my thing is that, I mean, I called Politico this morning. I've called a couple of the news agencies that are online and the blogs and stuff, and I said, look, there's somebody behind this, like there is with everything else, and you don't have to get too conspiratorial about it. But the reality is, this is a really stupid way to divide the country, and it's a really stupid way to promote ignorance.
Yep.
Politics is not something that you should be afraid to talk about. You should be able to have a speech or have a conversation with somebody and not feel like your head's going to get torn off. And I mean, one of my best friends lives in California, and I talked to him about it because I wanted the redneck perspective from him. And he went right to the guy that was going to burn Korans and the freedom of speech issue, and I'm like, that's insane. Why would your brain even take you that direction? I mean, it's just
I grew up in a political family, and, you know,
right.
But I'm just saying, you know, you can recall there just was a basic respect for the president of the United States, no matter who it was. And as a kid, you sort of intrinsically understood that.
Yeah, but that respect is a two-way street. If he's doing the wrong thing, you definitely want to point it out, and you want to point it out to his handlers and to him. Look, this is my opinion. You're doing the wrong thing.
Right, but the point is they're casting him as other, somebody that is not American, and it, you know, might be dangerous to your kids, and it really is a sad point, I think, in our history. Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, joins us live in studio next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all, their executive producer, Chris LaVoy. Voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I'll be on The Ed Show tonight on MSNBC, 6 p.m. Eastern. By the by, I read a great letter yesterday. Someone thanking me. They almost lost their entire book, except I told them about Carbonite. I have Carbonite Online Backup. You should, too. It automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the Internet. Don't risk losing your important files. Go to Carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie for a free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. It's Tuesday, and you know what that means. It's just some comedic fun confection will be here. In this case, the magical Kathleen Madigan joins us live in studio. Good morning,
wow,
Kathleen.
I really like that introduction. I may use that at shows.
I would
that
like
was,
you
that
introduced.
Was lovely, the magical Kathleen Madigan.
It's a
thank
you're
you.
A magical comedic confection. And thank
well,
you for joining us.
I am
us.
The height of an actual leprechaun. So I think my act could be described as magical.
Kathleen Madigan is playing here in Los Angeles. She will be down at the Grove in Anaheim Friday night and at the Nokia Theater here in Los Angeles Saturday night.
Yes, I actually have friends that are like, you're doing comedy at the Grove? They thought I meant the shopping mall.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'll be out by the fountain about 8. Look for me under the big light.
You have to run out. Light. You have to run out between when the water comes up and it comes down. You just could tell a joke. And then you get out.
I'm going to buy shoes at Nordstrom and then walk right out and do my
act.
I'll
be on the third floor of Banana Republic.
No, it's the Grove in Anaheim. Where I've been there once or twice. It's lovely.
It's a theater
and
of some sort.
And Nokia Live, I've never been down there.
Oh,
I have friends
it's
that are
great
asking.
I hear.
That's what I hear. I don't know. We all try to trick people into going downtown.
The point is, it doesn't matter where Kathleen Madigan is. She is hilarious. And a comedic confection.
Thank you.
Now... there's a lot of craziness going on to talk about these days.
You know, yes, and I just signed up to go back to Iraq on one of these USO tours, and then I turned on CNN, and they said, we're bringing everybody home. And I was like, whoa, am I getting punked by the United States military? What do you mean they're bringing everyone home? I just said yes. I just faxed all these papers back. I mean, there was a war. Surely there's a cleaning crew, right? There must be rubble. Some guy with a trash can and just a tank wheel going, well, I'd like a laugh, lady, if you're here.
How's
I mean,
Arabic?
They can't all be coming home. My Arabic is it's as good as my French. Going back. Maybe Afghanistan, too.
I love that the issues of war and peace for you pretty much revolve around your career and
where
your bookings are.
It's just about my gigs. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's mm-hmm. all. If Kabul doesn't have people left, I don't see any reason to do a one-nighter there. I think we're going there, too, because we went last time to Afghanistan. And, you know, when people go, oh, how much money will it fix Afghanistan? And how much money should we invest? I'm like, look, I don't know. I'm just a comedian. But from what I saw, I would say run this question through your mind. How much money would it cost to fix the moon? With mean moon people throwing things at you while you tried to fix it. I don't see it. It did not even meet my crappy expectations.
Really?
Yes.
And you have pretty low expectations.
I have very low hillbilly expectations.
You've probably stayed in some pretty crappy comedy condos, so your expectations are not.
I'm from Missouri, where the crystal meth lab, capital state of the world. I don't have high expectations. I really didn't. And what a dump.
Yeah.
I just don't see how you fix this. And when they say we're leaving, I'm like, I don't think so. The bases are getting larger and larger. Well,
yeah.
I don't know who they're building them for. Maybe the Afghanis are going to live in our bases because they're building new buildings. So obviously we're not really going anywhere.
By new, they mean older than the 12th century, or newer than the 12th century.
Jim Ward
right.
is the big thinker of the Stephanie Miller Show, and he says we should just airlift everything with a vagina out of Afghanistan, even the goats.
Yes.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know how you continue to... do that. But you know, as long as they're still, what's crazy too is half those people are National Guard people, and you know our soldiers, half are National Guard. That is not what they thought was going to happen when they saw that commercial.
They're like, we thought maybe sandbags when a river
We're going to help tornado people in Missouri. Something. That's what we're going to do. Because we went to Bozzy and the guy goes, oh, whoever's from Missouri, you're going to have a great show. We have 3,700 people here from the state of Missouri. The entire Missouri National Guard's here in Bozzy. And I thought, wasn't that lovely for Bozzy? But who's guarding Missouri now?
Exactly.
What if those Arkansas hillbillies get an ideal and try to attack us? Huh? I've seen Kansas people. They have a weird look in their eye. I don't trust them. You got to keep your state borders completely.
They didn't say which nation you'd be guarding. So
That's right.
It's it's a weird thing. I have a dear friend that just told me last night that his son is being deployed to Afghanistan. And you don't know what to say. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, and then, but then you think, oh, you're not supposed to say sorry. You're supposed to say, thank you for your service. But, it is.
Well, yeah, but you can't go cool.
You must be thrilled.
Cool. Yeah. Right. Did he say where he was going in Afghanistan?
He did not. No.
One of the nicer hell holes in Afghanistan.
You know,
on the selfish end too, because whenever I sign up for these things, I'm like, well, who's going? My patriotism ends with who am I going with? That's how far I'm a patriot. I'm a patriot enough to say yes if I like the other comics.
You're like, I love my country. I'd be happy. Carrot Top, no.
I can't go with Jeff Dunham. What do you mean, puppets?
We never get booked together.
There's no ventriloquism in war. What?
It's in the comedy Bible. Never book Kathleen Madigan.
I'm opening for Wayne, what's his name, and Madam? What? Wayland.
Oh, my God. I didn't even, that's a good, wow. I won't go if it's people I don't like.
You know, Ted Koppel wrote a great opinion piece. I don't know if you saw it, but about how, pardon me?
I'm Chad Campbell, and this is my own hair.
Can you do the really long pause before you say this is Nightline?
Is Nightline.
I love that. I just love how long the pause was. That's the only thing I remember about it.
Don't you miss him, though?
Yeah.
Don't you miss him?
And I love that he thought he was creating suspense, like maybe it was going to be something different that night, you know?
Jeopardy! What? Call in! Win a prize!
Jeopardy! What happened to Alex Trebek?
No, sorry.
This is Bewitched. We're all going to start drinking.
I'm going back to Canada. This place is crazy.
Is he Canadian?
Yes.
Well, anyway, he just basically was saying that we have fulfilled Bin Laden's wildest dreams, you know, in terms of how we have overreacted to 9/11 in the sense that, first of all, Iraq, Exhibit A. I mean, it's just... Now look at the hysteria over the Ground Zero rumpus room or whatever it is.
Right, that whole TSA. I mean, that's out of hand. That's all from this. You know, when they say, we can't live in fear. You know, I left Denver last week, and there's some, 900-year-old lady in a wheelchair, and they're making her do the thing at TSA. Mm-hmm. She can't hear. She doesn't know what they're asking. The daughter is frustrated. I'm like, this is all because... of that.
Yep.
All of it.
Yep.
You know, and then now because the guy shoved the bottle rockets in his underwear above Detroit, and then TSA went crazy, now you guys are shoving crap in your underwear, now you're going to have to go through the full people x-ray thing, which is fine with me.
Right.
I think if we could all every week go through a free CAT scan.
Sure.
Why not? CAT scan is $7,500.
Right. Healthcare still out of control. Yes.
Right.
You could
it's
combine.
A double answer. I don't even care if it's a doctor reading it. It could just be a guy from TSA going, I ain't a doctor or nothing, but there's some weird stuff in your kidney, lady. Because here's the chart, and that's what a normal one looks like. That's what they showed us in the class, and yours don't look like that.
Of course, they're going to naked pictures of you in the in-flight magazine.
That would be fine. Yeah. Nobody's going to want to look. That's, maybe if I was really young and hot, I might be bothered by that thought.
You're just like, whatever. But when I'm going through scared, I'm like, you know what? If I'm taking off this much stuff, somebody's having sex with me, because this is a lot of trouble. If I have to take shoes off and a belt
thing.
And a jacket, I'm something.
I actually got the pat down, but she was going all over my back with the wand in her hands, and I was like, that kind of feels good.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I'm like, huh, what do you charge for a
little
hour?
Wait, tease me first. I just got my cast off. I had a broken foot, and I've had to go through security. It's unbelievable. I mean,
it's completely out of hand. It's inefficient because I don't want to brag, but every week I sneak hairspray through. I sneak lighters. I am the rule. Yes,
you villainous.
I have a wine opener that goes with me. Not to say that maybe I'm a borderline drunk, but I'm just saying sometimes.
I'm way over the borderline.
Yes, I've gotten through a bazillion things that you're not supposed to get through. Not that I'm telling people that if you put the lighter in your pocket, it won't go off through the thing. I'm
yes,
just saying.
You're just saying.
I'm just saying it's possible. I'm just saying. I don't think it's very efficient.
Just don't carry harmonicas with you because they look like gun belts when they go through the X-ray machine.
Oh, really?
Yes, I've been stopped several times.
Would you carry a harmonica frequently?
Oh, several of them in different keys and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And so they make me play them to make sure that they're actually harmonicas.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And do people throw you quarters?
Yeah.
Like, hey, is there a little, I've got cab fare.
Like busking in the metro.
Is there a little monkey on your shoulder? What goes on? Who still plays the harmonica?
He does. He's great.
Like in a band? Really?
Well, band is a loose term.
Yeah, he was in a garage band, yes.
Could I see you perform this somewhere in public, this harmonica?
Yes, I'll invite you to my... I'm having a big birthday party coming up, and Jim Ward is... Listen, he has to do the Mick Jagger.
I think we might be out of town that week.
No, you have to be there.
Okay.
The Mick Jagger's on the invitation. You have to be there. Anyway, Kathleen, speaking of drunkenness, so
yes.
Here's another tip for you. I just went on vacation to wine country last week. That is not a good idea. I came back with 5 cases of wine, and I joined every wine club there. So now there'll be wine coming forever. Don't really know how much because I was drunk.
And this is just
you
the Central
bought
Coast.
It while you would wow.
While drunk, yes.
And it's all going to be, do you think you even purchased good wine?
I think so, but I was drunk. It's hard to.
Well, and after the first 8 glasses, can you really taste any of it?
I'm not good at wine tasting. I'm like, I love it. I'll buy it.
Get one good bottle out of the gate. The rest can be garbage. No one knows. No one really knows. I'm in the beer of the month club because my brother buys it every year for my birthday. But this is how much of a beer freak, perhaps alcoholic, I am. If no one's there to sign for my beer, it ends up at some DHL warehouse in Santa Monica. I drove an hour in traffic to go get my 12 exotic beers. I'm like, I can't leave them there. I knew it was the DHL. I knew it was the beer. It was just a note. Your stuff's in Santa Monica. If you don't come and get it, we're sending it back. And I'm like,
we're
that's my beer. Yes, and I made a special trip. Two-hour round trip in traffic.
That is commitment, Kathleen Madigan.
That's commitment. And half of them are going to suck.
We must salute you with the beer song.
Oh, what is the malted liquor? What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it.
Beer!
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer!
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer!
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer!
Got my belly out to here.
Beer!
I could not refuse a
beer.
I could really use a beer.
Beer!
Beer!
Bless you, Kathleen Madigan.
That was the
LA
biggest,
traffic.
That was the biggest disappointment about Iraq. No alcohol.
Really?
I'm like, how are you supposed to conduct a war without alcohol? But then in Afghanistan, you know, this is another reason to be Canadian. They tell their government, only the Canadian soldiers, they fill out forms and fax them back for alcohol, and the Canadian government sends it.
Oh.
So, you know, what's the vibe of the story? Make friends with the Canadians. If you're
that's what that's all about.
Right.
All right.
They actually send them liquor. Our soldiers, nothing. Zero. Not one beer for 18 months.
That seems like a cause I should get involved with. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more with Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show live from Hollywood, 23 minutes after the hour. Comedian Kathleen Madigan live in studio with us. We'll be performing here in L.A. this weekend. You can go to stephaniemiller.com and find out all the info. Your parents are following you around on the road now?
No.
What a dream
come
true.
Yes, they're retired, and now any gig that I have a casino...
attached.
They're there.
Yeah.
Because they don't care about my show. If they're at the show, it means they've lost all their money. And then they're just sitting there and they're crabby and they've got nothing else to do. And then I just have to give them more money to go away. Because they're retired, they like the gamble. But, like, I don't care if they come, but I won't travel with them anymore. The last time we get to the St. Louis airport, that's where we're from, they say the flight's delayed for 4 hours. And my mom goes, uh-oh, that's a problem. And I said, well, there's really not much we can do about it, Mom. She goes, well, here's the real problem. Your father and I took pills, and we're going to pass out in 45 minutes. I'm like, here in the gate area? Yes, here in the gate area. I said, give me all the pills you have, crazy old people. You're not taking pills anymore randomly without my permission. I would not have let them done that until we boarded. And so they pass out in the gate area.
So you had to, you had to watch your unconscious
watch them
parents,
while I go get them coffee and try to, then she loses her wallet. And I said, you are officially the worst posse ever. If I was P. Diddy, I'd fire you and get new old people. I can't travel like this.
You can't even hold an umbrella properly.
I'm back to the rental car center. Have you seen her wallet? They're, I mean, they're fun, but they are. They're getting older to the point where they ask really. She called last week. She goes, who's in charge of Facebook? I said, I don't know. Probably some 20-year-old with $1 billion. Why? She goes, well, your father and I have a page, but we didn't create it. I said, so I think one of my brothers made them a page, like, as a joke. And I said, well, just out of curiosity, how many friends do you have? And she said, well, we had six, but I kicked two off. And I said, who'd you kick off? She said, two of your brother's friends. What do they need to know what your father and I are doing for? I said, are you posting things? She said, no. I go, well, then they won't know. It's not the Matrix. It's Facebook. It's not like they get to come into your home via some Facebook magical wire. Mom, just relax on the Facebook. Well, we're thinking about canceling the whole thing. We are. I'm like, go ahead, cancel it. Call somebody and ask to cancel Facebook. I don't even know how you do that.
And the person got that call information?
That's probably who they would. Well,
you know,
I called an 800 number.
Well, you and I are talking. We both have birthdays coming up, and I can tell that I am getting crotchety like your parents, because I ask Chris. I get crotchety about that. I'm like, I don't understand Twitter. I don't want to live my life on Twitter.
So I don't.
Sometimes I write things, but I don't understand it. Somebody set it up on my phone, and I know if I write a sentence and hit send, it goes somewhere.
Yes.
But I don't know who would read that.
It goes directly
why.
To your parents' Facebook page.
Probably. They actually, I am bad at technology. I shouldn't make fun of them. But when I went home last time, I set everything up, the printer, the computer. Then I go home again. I said, I'm going to go down and print out my boarding pass. My dad goes, well, you can't. Almost like he was proud of that. And I go, why can't I print it out? I fixed the whole thing. He goes, the whole thing's in Portuguese. I was like, what? What did you do? He goes, I don't know how else to say that, Kathleen. The whole thing is in Portuguese. And I'm like, what happened? You want me to tell you what I think happened, or you should tell me what your mother claims occurred down there? Everything is always the lawyer thing. And then he goes, we plugged in a Kodak camera. Your mother hit some buttons she claims she didn't hit, and now the whole thing's in Portuguese. And they just shut the door like a person died in there. For 2 months it was like that. I said, are you waiting for someone from Portugal to swing by the Ozarks and answer your emails in Portuguese? We figured someone would fix it when they got home. We don't care. They can't hear, like, Dad can't hear, and he's got two hearing aids, but, you know, I don't know what's going on with that whole racket. They don't work. It's like $2,500 an ear. No
change. My mom, it took her forever to get them. She went through them years of denial, like, Mom, you can't hear. What? Yeah. Mom, seriously, you can't. Yes, I can.
Huh? Uh-huh. Huh? Yeah. Why does everyone make fun of my disability? Because you won't get hearing aids, Dad. Yeah. I wear glasses. If I didn't wear them all day and walked around the house going, have you seen my keys, have you seen my purse, you would get annoyed. You'd say, Kathleen, put on your glasses, put in your contacts. The hearing aids, though, I don't understand, considering how much they cost, how little they truly do work. The only thing that happens that's shocking is when the battery in a hearing aid goes dead, it makes this earth-shattering, high-pitched squeal. Which
would make you
hear.
Deaf if you're not already.
Yeah. But they don't hear it because they're deaf. I'm like, what an asinine system to alert a deaf person. Like, when the battery goes dead, it should fly out of his head and around the house until he makes visual contact with it. And then he can go, Jesus, I just saw my hearing aid fly through the kitchen. I guess the battery's dead.
Or just a hand with a cartoon mallet should come out and just something. Yeah,
something other than a noise, which they couldn't hear to begin with. Yes, he's deaf. They lose their teeth. I mean, it's getting to be a chore. A fun chore, nonetheless. They're fine if they're
I would give
one,
anything
though.
To have seen you with your unconscious parents after they took pills in an airport.
Oh, what a nightmare.
It's like weekend with Kathleen Madigan's parents.
And it was
just dragging your parents.
And it was free.
Like
I had free tickets on Southwest, so I took them on that. And then they said, well, you have to sit in the middle. And then they talk to each other over me. And then he can't hear. So she's like, tell your father. No. Either I get the window or I get the aisle, but I'm not sitting in the middle of this drugged out train wreck. The one bottle of pills my mom handed me was just blank. There was no, it was so old, there was no thing on it. And I go, what are these pills, crazy legs? And she said, oh, I call that bottle the All Stars. Okay, okay, people.
Yeah. You know, Kathleen, I thought my life was bad, but somehow sitting between your parents on a Southwest Airlines flight.
On a flight that was, I think we were going, I think my dad's Cadillac goes faster. I think Southwest goes 104 miles an hour. It took eight hours to get from St. Louis to Las Vegas. It should take 2.5.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Kathleen Madigan on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm too tired. Do whatever you want. Just don't get it in my hair.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
How many times have I heard that?
Speaking of media whoring, I think Mama's going to be on the Joy Behar Show and on the Ed Show today.
What?
Joy Behar on CNN Headline News and the Ed Show on MSNBC. Well, I'll tweet you, won't I, Chris, if I know when I know for sure.
Yeah. Mm. What a TV whore.
Thank you. At least I don't get it in my hair. 34 minutes after the hour. Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with us. It's a love story from Robert in Los Angeles. Hi, Robert.
Hey, good morning.
You have a touching Facebook story, something.
Well, okay, I met a girl on Facebook, and she asked me, you know, my interests, my hobbies, which way I lean politically, what sort of television shows I watch and radio shows I listen to. And I said, well, I listen to the Stephanie Miller Show. She gave me a freaking test. She asked me who the Moots were, who Jim was, what sort of regular guest. So anyways, long story short, I passed the test. I'm going out with her tonight.
Yay! It's another Steph connection.
Good luck, Robert.
It was unbelievable.
Thank you, honey. That's great. Wow. She flunked the Steph test. That's kind of a sad.
Is the intro to anything Kim Jong-il said?
She vetted him, though.
Yes.
Now, what she doesn't know is he's a serial killer. But he does like the Stephanie.
That's all I care about.
He passed the test, right.
Claire in New Hampshire, you're on with Kathleen Madigan. Hi, Claire.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much.
Hi, Claire.
I called because I wanted to tell you I'm letting my kids stay home in protest. Because they're not showing the Obama speech to the kids.
Oh, yeah. They're not showing it at your school?
No, they never said anything. I didn't discover it until I heard Ed say on his show yesterday they were having the speech today, and I called and asked the school, the teacher, and she said no. And I said, you know what? My kid's not coming in. I'm done.
Mm.
I'm just fed up. It's just...
Can you believe that, Kathleen? They're not. Good for you, Claire. They're not
giving another speech today.
He's to the school kids, and of course they're making it a controversy. Like some parents don't want their kids to, because you know it'll be some scary Kenyan socialist message apparently.
A wolf coat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This goes on every time he gives a speech, though, right?
I know.
Half of them say no.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's and when do you ever remember that in our history? I mean, he's the president of all of us, and it's you know.
Well, in the Catholic school, we couldn't even afford a TV. I don't even know if there were speeches. Some nun would just come in and yell at us and say, the president said behave, and that was the end of it. We're like, all right, I guess.
I was in Catholic school for sixth grade, and when the Pope was shot that year, and they wheeled in a TV for
all
that.
All of a sudden, they found a TV.
And they found a TV for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think President Garfield had a lot of trouble with the TV stuff. They never show his speeches.
Well, did they show all of George Bush's in the public schools?
Yeah.
Did they?
Sure enough. Sure did. It's right between cartoons.
That's why our kids are so smart now.
So speaking of the president, obviously, mostly they're saying the midterms are going to be about the economy. The president yesterday on the economy.
We stopped the bleeding, stabilized the economy, but the fact of the matter is that the pace of improvement has not been where it needs to be.
We've done triage,
I hope it all works out. I wanted Hillary, and I'm not going to get off Hillary. I'm still on Hillary.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is going to happen, but have you heard the whole, they're thinking about doing the switcheroo in the next, that Biden would be Secretary of State and she would run For
really?
VP. Yes.
Well,
and then
be...
we would have 8 years of Hillary after Obama.
That would be a relief for her, I'm sure. I mean, yes. She hasn't been home in 21 months. She hasn't seen a blow dryer. The Botox has fallen out.
Yeah. I have noticed sometimes she does not look like campaign Hillary.
No, it's over. She's in foreign countries in their local garb looking like a complete lunatic. And you know she thinks she's coming home. And then she gets to that private jet and the BlackBerry's blowing up. There's a bar fight in Siberia. Your problem, not mine. LOL, Obama.
I think they picked a job to give her. They're like, what job can we give her? We don't have to see her bossy ass for the next 4 years. Boom, gone. Poor lady has no idea. She barely got home for her daughter's wedding. She was like texting from China, telling me you want blue flowers. Who are you marrying? I haven't met him yet. I feel terrible for the woman. And I wish she was president because I just think she's meaner. And I think we need mean.
Yeah, you're right.
She reminds me of my Aunt Nan. And I like the power of my Aunt Nan wheel. I just think like the oil spill, Hillary would have been in a pantsuit that was a wedding. Sitting on top of the pipe. You just turn on CNN, she'd be in a scuba outfit and a wet pantsuit outfit, flipping the whole world off, going, I'll stop it with my own ass if I have to.
And now, as you mentioned, she's going to be even crankier. Because every now and again you'll see a press conference and she just looks pissed. She's just got like... Her hair does not look good. She's got the bags under her eyes. She's like,
and he just keeps
sending
her to one worse place after that. Why don't you go fight? Why don't you do a cruise by on Kim Jong-il? Tell me what he's up to. Oh, really? You're finished? How about Iran? Why don't you go over there and see if they're mad at us? I mean, it's just one impossible situation. Could you please tell the Pakistanis to behave? Could you get over there? I don't know. I don't know what that job pays, but not enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Not enough for me not to be able to do my hair. I don't know what that costs, but obviously.
But imagine
no
the frequent
dryers.
Flyer miles. I imagine she never has to sit between her parents on Southwest. You know, is the good news.
I doubt it.
So here's the thing I don't get is this whole tax cuts for the rich. Despite the fact that Republicans in Congress have made reducing the deficit one of their signature issues this election season, they've also been arguing without addressing the $700 billion cost that the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy should not be allowed to expire. A USA Today Gallup poll found a majority of Americans see it differently. While 37% support keeping the tax cuts for all Americans, 44% want them extended only for those making less than $250,000. So Gallup notes the bottom line, Democrats may not be putting themselves at great political risk by allowing the tax cuts to expire for wealthy Americans. In fact, the middle ground of extending tax cuts for low and middle income Americans, but allowing them to expire for wealthy Americans, the Democrats' most likely proposal is the specific option the public prefers most. Once again,
it just seems like Republicans run on the most unpopular ideas, and so that's why I'm unclear how they can be ahead. It's like
I don't think people pay attention to that.
Yeah,
I really don't.
No.
And I have all kinds of rich friends, and they don't build factories or do anything. They just spend their money on better champagne and private airline. I know what they do with their money, and it is not creating more jobs. Well, maybe a pilot for the private jet. One guy got a job out of all their money.
I mean, to say... But I don't think normal people pay attention to that.
But that's the thing. It's such a basic disconnect. It's like, oh, you can't tax the rich. They won't hire. It's like they're not hiring now. Where are the jobs now then if they have these tax cuts and they're, you know.
Where's the new factories that they just built with all their money?
Right.
They don't exist. You know where they are? They're in China. That's where they are.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to do anything that's going to help this country if they can get it cheaper somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right. The president on the tax cuts.
We'd have to borrow $700 billion over... over the course of 10 years. And we just can't afford it.
So Senate Republicans declared they have the votes to block legislation that would extend only middle-class tax relief if the Democrats follow through on plans to let taxes rates raise for the wealthiest Americans.
The Democrats said, okay.
The senators forcefully made their case one day after the boner suggested he might vote for Obama's plan if that ends up the only option. I think he got a wedgie, don't you think, Jim? He got a...
and a swirly.
Yeah. There was crying. I think there was man... I think...
This is top of our list.
He had to walk that back a little bit.
This is getting my underwear out of my butt crack. This is top of our list.
The president on the boner.
John Boehner, who stands... You know, wants to be the speaker, the next speaker of the House if the Republicans take over. He specifically said, well, these are just government jobs. And they're not worth saving. Now... It's just not smart from an economic perspective for us to allow a whole bunch of those jobs that are right here in the United States to go away.
You know, it's the thing when people, they just throw out that government jobs, you know, they're firemen, policemen.
Right.
I mean,
them.
Yeah,
government work.
Yeah, until your house is on fire, and then suddenly you're like, I need some, I wish there were more government workers around.
Well, we don't want socialism. Well, then don't call 911.
Right, yeah.
The next time you're having a heart attack, call your Republican friend and see if he'll drive over and take you to the hospital.
But don't take the interstate.
And if your house is on fire, call another one of your Republican friends and see if they'll come over with a giant hose and put your house out.
Right.
I mean, there are, when people, they keep throwing the term around socialism about Obama. And it's like, well, some aspects of a society have to be socialism because we're a society.
Right.
We have to have cops. We have to have firemen. Or the roads, have to get off. Everything's not a toll road.
Yes, get off the road right now if you don't believe in socialism.
Right. Make your own road.
Make your own way.
Make your own road from Las Vegas to Los Angeles.
Every
we need another road anyway.
It cost you $500 to go a block.
Right, and the toll roads that never get paid for, either. Because that's always a thing. Oh, we just need $1 million to regroup here. 20 years from now, it's $18 to go across the bridge. And it's still there.
Yep.
The road should be paid for.
The president talking about tax cuts.
We're still in this wrestling match with John Boehner and Mitch McConnell about the last 2 to 3%, where, on average, we'd be giving them $100,000 for people making $1 million or more.
Wow. Picture Mitch McConnell in one of them tight wrestling outfits. That's there's a vision.
See, that sentence got way too hard. I drifted out in the middle. I am just as dumb as the average American. As soon as he was like, something or percentage of... Blah, blah, blah.
I'm out.
It's math.
All right, the boner yesterday.
We don't know what the bill's going to say, all right? If the only option I have is to vote for those at 250 and below, of course I'm going to do that. But I'm going to do everything I can to fight to make sure that we extend the current tax rates for all Americans.
So top Republicans not embracing the Boehner's assertion that he would back that proposal that allows tax cuts on upper-income Americans to expire. Not one Republican leader, not Eric Cantor or Mike Pence, have backed Boehner's statement on Face the Nation that he would vote for that bill. While Republicans aren't being openly critical, it's clear that Boehner's off-message comment has created discomfort among Republicans.
And you know what's crazy, too, is no matter how much, if I think about my really rich friends, rich comedian friends, like, no matter whatever they're being taxed, they're still rich. Does not anyone not know? Nobody is like, oh, my gosh, Drew Carey had to pay his taxes. Look at him in that old Chevy. I mean, no, they're still rich, so it's fine. I mean, even if you tax them more.
Right.
And, I mean, these are people I like, but I'm saying even if you tax them more, they're still rich.
Right. Right.
50% tax rate on $1 billion is still a boatload of money.
It's still enough for dinner at the Palm.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
There you go. Kathleen Madigan's tax advice. 45 minutes after, whenever you're left with dinner at the Palm, you're fine. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I'm just reading all Kathleen Madigan's Twitter love. Twitter love. Nothing like it. 50 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Kathleen Madigan, a comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with us. She will be live performing in Los Angeles this weekend. Go to stephaniemiller.com for information. She's even more hilarious in person because you can see her wacky facial expressions.
And much shorter than you would think. I love it when people come up to me and go, oh, my God, you're so short. Like I don't care that they say that. They're like, you're so much taller on TV. I'm like, it's because you're on the couch. I look like a giant. Yes.
You're of Irish extraction, so a little. You get leprechaun jokes, things like that.
Where's your peasant old?
Peasant stock, potato people. Yeah. Well, that's why I don't think I'm short. Everyone in my family's a hobbit. Like, I didn't even realize I was short till I was, like, in high school, where I was like, whoa, what's up with the giant people? My mom's 5'1. Everybody's super short.
Yeah.
Closer to the potatoes, I believe.
Let's do some celebrity stack, shall we? Did you see what was with Lady Gaga's meat dress? What was that about?
I saw the dress. I don't know.
I know she has more followers on Twitter than anybody in the world.
Yeah. Yes.
So I think maybe she should explain health care. That's what everyone's paying attention to, Lady Gaga, and do it in 140 characters or less. I didn't get the dress, but I think that's her whole thing, right?
Yes.
To shock and freak you out. And
yes.
She's doing a very good job of that.
She's convinced that she is controlled by Andy Warhol. She says... Why? Is that strange? She is said to have become obsessed with the late pop artist, reportedly makes her decisions based on their imaginary conversations. She's convinced he is controlling her from beyond the grave, guiding her life and career. Her entire life has become dictated by these conversations. She's in touch with his spirit. She sits and talks to him for hours as if he's in the room with her. She says that he tells her what to wear. So the meat dress, perhaps.
Wow.
His idea.
Hmm.
Well, you know, in Vanity Fair this month, she said that she used to lay in bed when she was a kid and pray that she was weirder.
Well, it
worked. Seriously.
Prayer works. Prayer works.
And I thought, I used to lay in bed and pray that my family wasn't so weird. See how this is all backwards, Lady Gaga? But it worked, absolutely. Look how weird she became. So,
for
all you non-religious people, take that as an example.
There you go.
The power of prayer.
All right, Jim, would you like a Robert De Niro story that involves Gerard Depardieu being his fluffer? Cause that's,
say what?
Well, the story, yeah, this is a very strange story. While shooting 1900, I guess that was a movie, back in 1977, Robert De Niro had trouble summoning a... I'm not sure why it was called for him to have an erection, apparently. One scene... for some bizarre reason, Robert called up his co-star, Gerard Depardieu, who, I don't know who that's going to turn on, but
wow.
Page Six says that Gerard claims that he solved Robert's dilemma in a quick second. It involved water and Tiger Bomb.
Okay.
Oh, weird.
That's the weirdest celebrity story I think I've ever
heard.
And
I think it's weird to volunteer for that, Gerard. Isn't there a PA? Isn't there somebody making minimum wage?
Isn't that a union
has
gig?
To do that?
Right. And
you can't touch that.
Right.
You can't touch Robert De Niro. Right. I can't even move a microphone, and that went on? How did that happen? That's a very odd story.
Wow.
Wow.
What in that movie would have required him to be...
I don't know.
Tumescent?
Don't know. D-listed writing...
Not have been my first pick.
Mario Lopez has apparently moved his. According to D-listed, Mario Lopez has slipped on his spandex leotard and pirouetting all over Burbank while singing, "See, I'm not gay," because he's now a father. He and his girlfriend had a baby girl. Yeah, he's way too good looking to be straight, isn't he? And yet he is. I don't...
He's very cute, too, though. Like, to me, he's not just hot. Like, he was on, I don't know, he's on every show now, but he was on something, maybe it was a Today Show or something, and I thought, he's still got, like, those dimples. Every time I see him, I think, I bet he was a really cute baby. I don't know if that's a compliment to a full-grown man, but I always think I wish I could see him as a baby. Like, big eyes and big dimples.
Must have been a beautiful child.
Very cute.
Adorable. John Waters, the filmmaker, has an idea for how gays and lesbians can push for marriage equality. I think we should just try to make a heterosexual divorce illegal, which is a good idea. And that guy we had on is working on that in California. He's actually trying to get on the ballot.
Really?
Banning heterosexual divorce, which presumably hurts marriage more than the gays.
It's not going to go over well.
You know, that was the law in Ireland until like an hour ago.
Yes.
For real.
Yeah.
And that's why there's so much drinking.
Yes. I can't believe I've got to stay with him forever.
Geez.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. They just changed like in the last 5 years.
Wow.
There was no divorce. Once you're in, you're all in. Too bad. You made a bad choice.
It's like the mafia. Yep.
Live with it, Maeve. Have another bottle of whiskey because he is not coming home.
Justin Bieber has a crush on Michelle Obama. He even has a full-length poster of her on his bedroom wall.
Wow.
That's a long poster.
Yeah.
She's tall.
It's life-size, perhaps. Oh, here's an edition of What the Fox. I can tell you what's going to probably be on Fox, because I have a psychic gift like that. Michelle Obama admitted that she's a lover of French fries. At the National Restaurant Association's fall board meeting, though, she asked restaurateurs to rethink the way they offer food in their eateries and implored them to provide more nutritious choices to both adults and kids. That'll be on Fox tonight.
Yes.
The First Lady nanny state trying to impose socialist, you know.
Why won't she share her French fries with the nation?
Exactly.
Right.
And, socialist behemoth.
Trying to force us to eat healthy and whatever.
I don't think suggesting it. It's suggesting it's nice, but maybe now is not the time with the economy to take away our fries. Maybe we could think of something else.
We're just saying.
Yeah. All right. We were talking about the economy. Senator Mitch McChinley's talking about the tax cuts.
I'm introducing legislation today that ensures that no one in this country will pay higher income taxes next year than they are right now.
By no one, I mean people making $1 billion a minute.
I would pay for him to get collagen in his lips. I can't look at the man because he has no lips.
Well, we can't decide whether it's that he has no lips or just no too many chins. There's something happening.
Well, there's something wrong with his upper lip.
I agree.
It's frozen.
Maybe he's got dip all up in there. Maybe he's got a whole upper lip full of dip.
French fries.
Maybe he's saving French fries and hiding them from Michelle.
Here's bad news for John Boehner. Ohio voters think he should step away from the self-tanner. There's one thing Democrats and Republicans can agree on. Public policy polling finds the majority of voters in his home state disapprove of his unnatural orange tan.
Maybe it's a spray-on.
That's what we're thinking.
Yeah, I think it's the spray-on.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because sometimes I've done stuff on CNN and those girls in that makeup room whip out these...
Those things.
Sometimes it's a little orangey weird. Okay, ladies, look, I know I'm white, but I'm not going to burst the camera. Get the fake tan away. It's going to look unnatural over freckles.
Kathleen Madigan, is there a KathleenMadigan.com?
There is. Well, yes, there is.
Go to it now and go to her shows here live in L.A. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks for having me.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. A message this hour from, I always say this wrong, Ask Me.
That's way too many consonants.
Ask me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We all know too well what happens when Republicans run the show. Apologies and favors for big oil and Wall Street schemes to privatize Social Security and hundreds of thousands more layoffs for our teachers, nurses, and firefighters. As we get close to November, remember, history only repeats itself if you let it. From Ask Me, one of our very favorite unions. All right. Mama, by the way, will be on, I think, the Joy Behar Show on CNN Headline News and the Ed Show on MSNBC. How about me?
CNN Headline what?
News.
You said nose. It's kind of funny.
Why? Because I'm so well-spoken. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Speaking of people well-spoken that are on MSNBC and know how to say...
Oh, wow.
Exactly, among many other things. Nora O'Donnell joins us now. Good morning, Nora.
Top of the morning to you.
God, on your show today.
Exactly. So nice to talk to you. It's an exciting year for politics.
It is. It is a great year for politics. Voters are angry. Voters are headed to the polls. In fact, today is actually the last big primary day of the year. We've got voting in 7 states and the District of Columbia. And, boy, there's lots going on in these Republican primaries.
Well, you know, Nora, a lot has been said about that. But what is your take on this whole Tea Party, I don't know what you want to call it, movement? Because it seems like right now they're more at war with the Republican Party, the Republican establishment, aren't they, for instance, in the Christine O'Donnell race?
That's right. In Delaware, there's no doubt that the Tea Party movement is certainly upsetting a number of establishment Republicans. Today in Delaware, there's this race where a Congressman Mike Castle, who's viewed as a moderate, may get defeated by a marketing executive, Christine O'Donnell. No relation to me. but she is a mama grizzly. She's backed by Sarah Palin and would be pretty stunning if she wins today. And here's the strange thing. If she wins, then the Republicans may not get that Senate seat. It's actually Joe Biden's old Senate seat, but she is not viewed as a strong candidate in November. So that would be an instance where the Tea Party has nominated someone that actually really hurts the Republican Party.
Well, and that may happen, right? I mean, certainly with Rand Paul, Sharon Engel, even if Murkowski gets in Alaska, right? I mean, this could only help Democrats, perhaps.
That's right. I mean, what we've seen is in a number of these Senate races where Republicans had a great shot at winning those seats, Tea Party candidates have won in the primaries and significantly hurt the Republicans' chances in November. Now, there may be so much of a wave, a tsunami of anger out there in this country that the Republicans may end up winning some of those seats. Like in Kentucky, for instance, Rand Paul is still ahead there. In Alaska, Joe Miller, who's the Tea Party candidate who beat Lisa Murkowski, the senator, he actually may win, even though the Democrats have a better shot now, perhaps, of taking that seat. So we really see something very interesting going in the Republican primary. You know, these Tea Partiers are calling these other Republicans rhinos, that they're Republicans in name only and nothing else. So there is a fight within the Republican Party about who's a true, you know, red-blooded conservative.
Well, you know, maybe I'm, you know, coming from a partisan side here, Nora, but I just, I'm sort of curious, like, when push comes to shove in November, the things that they're running on, like keeping tax cuts for the rich, defunding health care, they're not popular, are they?
Well, yeah, I mean, here's what's interesting. One, I would say just in general, why the Tea Party and what that says about these elections, you see all voters across the board, whether it's Tea Party, independents, and even some Democrats, are voting on fiscal issues. Fiscal issues are trumping social issues this year. People are concerned about our deficit. They're concerned about spending, so that's one big deal. Now, in terms of the Republicans, you're right. We heard Senator Mitch McConnell say yesterday, no compromise on the tax cuts. He wants all the tax cuts, even the tax cuts for the rich or nothing. And that's really what the Democrats are going to campaign again. They're going to say the Republicans are against Obama's middle-class tax cuts. Obama wants to extend the tax cuts for 98% of Americans, middle-class Americans, but Republicans want to block that at the expense of the wealthy and the rich, that top 2%, something that would cost our government $700 billion in order to extend those tax cuts. So that's, if Democrats can clarify that, if they can make that message clear, they believe that that's a winning argument with independents too, who have pretty much abandoned the Democratic Party.
Yep. Well, you know, Nora, the other thing I wonder about, you know, speaking of the deficit, is, you know, I just read that Obama's budget has lowered the deficit from, you know, what George Bush left us, and yet I don't feel like I've seen even coverage on that practically.
Well, the deficit is still greatly out of control, but this is like you know, sipping water from a fire hose, trying to trying to turn around this, you know, the deficit, reduce the deficit at a time of a recession. I mean, I was just going over some of, you know, the numbers, and you know, some Republicans, some conservatives who make the argument for extending the tax cuts make the argument that, look, the top 5% of those in the income bracket actually account for 30% of the spending. If you extended the Bush tax cuts, you might, economic growth might double from 2% to 3.7%. That's an interesting argument. But the president says in response to that, yeah, that may be true, but we absolutely cannot afford another $700 billion added to our deficit. We just can't do it. So that's really the crux of the argument.
Now, Nora, let's talk about babies, because I don't have any.
but you work with a lot
of them,
right?
Yes, and I understand a lot of people do have them. You have a new book out, Baby Love, Healthy, Easy, Delicious Meals for Your Baby and Toddler, a cookbook focusing on children's nutrition.
You know, I like to say, you know, I can talk politics and I can talk purees. I wrote this, you know, in all my free time. I wrote a cookbook with my husband called Baby Love, and it's all about healthy, easy, delicious meals for your infant and toddler. And it really is, you know, just like Michelle Obama has brought a lot of light to this obesity crisis in America that will bankrupt our healthcare system.
Yeah.
You know, I had three small children in 3 years. I had twins, and then I had a baby 13 months later. I had a lot of babies.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to sort of help lots of, you know, busy parents who say, I don't have the time to do this, and sort of show that it really only takes 1 hour every 2 weeks to make applesauce, you know, make butternut squash puree. This stuff is easy, and it's really a way to build a foundation for healthy eating for the rest of your life.
Well, you know, and I think it really is critical. Since I'm not a parent, I'm able to be really judgmental of my friends that are parents. But, you know, I sometimes think, you can't help, I go, wow, they're really eating like crap. Like, a lot of parents let kids, you know, and you do, you see kids getting heavier and heavier and heavier, and it is a crisis.
They whine a lot. I have three of them. And so you're right. It is very easy to just give them cookies or open up a package. But it is, especially when they're infants, when they really don't know, you know, about the difference of foods, to sort of teach them about eating fresh foods, not jarred foods or packaged foods, and sort of start that foundation early on, so that when you, instead of laying out a plate of chips, you can lay out a plate of vegetables. And my girls will eat, you know, broccoli like it's, you know, like they're chocolate-covered strawberries. So you can, if you start early, you can sort of change and start good habits early on.
Well, I think that's true. It's training taste buds, right? Because if you're, you know, if you're so attuned to so much salt and sugar, then it's hard. You know, if you start early, like your book is urging, I think you have a better shot, right?
You know what? You are exactly right. It is absolutely training taste buds and all that stuff. And I have to tell you, it blew my mind when I spoke with this nutritionist out of Tufts University, Dr. Susan Roberts, who made the case for metabolic programming, that actually there's so much rapid growth when you're a baby that actually what you feed your child then is actually programming their cells for life. So you can prevent heart disease, diabetes, cancer, all sorts of things in that early stage in life. It's pretty groundbreaking. I think there's going to be more and more talk about that. And also, as we've seen in a lot of the news reports, obesity starts in infancy.
Well,
and so there's going to be there's a national debate, certainly, that the First Lady has started about this just yesterday before the National Restaurant Association, trying to get restaurants to change their menus. And IHOP said they are going to change their menus.
Right. Well, and Nora, I think that, you know, you raise, you know, sort of, I think, the most important point in your book. People are going, if Nora O'Donnell is not too busy to make oatmeal, tropical smoothie, creamy buttermilk, whatever, and she's in a different primary state every day.
That's right. I mean,
because that's what people think, is that, oh, I only have time to get them fast food because I don't have time.
Look, and I admit, I'm a terrible cook. But our book, Baby Love, I mean, it did help that I'm married to a chef. There's no doubt about it. So
right.
When he started,
oh, you cheater.
I know. I totally cheated. Absolutely. Totally cheated. But when he started making this, I was like, oh, this is so easy. We have to tell people this. And he was like, nobody cares. And I was like, are you kidding? If people knew how easy this was, they would do it. And anyway, we have this great pancake recipe in there that we still eat to this day. And I ate every day when I was, or I should say every day on the weekends when I was pregnant. So there's a recipes in there for some adult.
Okay, now you're talking my language. What kind of pancakes are we talking about?
I know. Whole grain blueberry pancakes. And you can add some flax if you want, which I'm a huge fan of, you know, good brain food, especially not just for babies, but for those of us who are aging as well.
I don't know who you're talking about. I was just saying earlier on the show, you know, I don't know if you saw Michelle Obama was talking to the restaurateurs and just urging them, you know, to make healthier choices. And I thought, you know, that's going to be on Fox News, right? Like, oh, here we go, the nanny state, and they're trying to tell us what to eat and what not to eat. And it's just, like, as you said, it just makes common sense. These are our kids, and it's going to be our healthcare system, and it's going to explode at some point if we don't. And again, it's not trying to force people.
Program. I mean, I don't know if you remember what you ate in school, but I certainly remember what they were feeding us. Oh. Those are our taxpayer dollars at work, this junk and crap that we're feeding.
Who could even identify what it was that you were eating?
Right. I mean, I remember all kinds of yucky stuff that I used to eat and certainly enjoyed then, but that we can make, you know, different sort of choices about school lunch programs and help our children. And I think the statistic that one in every three children in America is now overweight or obese. And that's stunning.
Yes.
That's really stunning. And I think it's sort of, you know, it's a question about how we value our children. You know, we want everybody to live healthy, great lives, and we should help them do that by, you know, teaching them how to eat healthy and have active.
If you want your child to grow up and look like the stunningly gorgeous Nora O'Donnell,
yes,
who is sort of unnaturally pretty, buy her book, Baby Love, Healthy, Easy, Delicious Meals for Your Baby and Toddler. It sounds like a great book. Thanks so much, Nora.
Thanks, Stephanie. You're a rock star. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon. There she goes. She is disturbingly attractive.
Yes, she is.
All right,
I had noticed that. That did not escape my attention. And Tommy sent me a picture, of course. To
oh, yes. Yeah, there's that cheesecake picture of her.
You know, out of the corner of my eye, I'm always, when I'm trying to conduct a serious interview, out of the corner of my eye, I always see Squeezy has something up on his, his computer over there when I'm interviewing an attractive female guest.
Kinds of yummy. Anyway.
I can sort of hear the porn music, and I'm just like, I can't really make eye contact with Jim. Okay. All right. Okay. 18.
At least you didn't use her nickname.
18
Stop
minutes
it.
After
what?
The hour.
What?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, didn't you? All your friends were so knocked out. You had to have the last word last night to know what everything's about. You had to have a white hot spotlight. You had to be a big shot last night.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. By the by, tomorrow, Carl Frisch from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World, and then Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Yay! Aisha Tyler, my Tuesday pal, is in New York for Fashion Week.
Yes. So she'll be, that's why she's not here today.
Is she wearing a meat dress?
We should ask her. So that's why she's not here today. Oh, someone said Aisha and I are a twisty cone of comedy fun.
A twisty cone? Like vanilla and chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie, won't you? Thank you. All right. Let's go to Mark in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Stephanie Miller.
Why, thank you for the full salutation.
I wanted to get your opinion on something related to Michelle Obama and trying to encourage people to eat healthier.
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds like a socialist plot to me.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
One reason why I think you'll never hear her or the president mention, say, and I'm not against people receiving food stamps, especially where the economy is right now. Mm-hmm. People need help. Yes. But I am against people who receive food stamps buying junk food or soda pop or Wham Whams and Yum Yums or whatever they buy.
Yum Yams and Yum Yums.
Right, from South Park, of course.
Ah.
Okay, now, one of the reasons, that's just my opinion, I wanted to get yours, why you will never hear the president mentioning, even though
so
Michelle,
you don't want Michelle Obama telling you what to eat, but you want to tell people that get food stamps
well,
what they can eat.
See, no, it's a ridiculous argument. I'm just talking about.
Well, I think
healthier,
it's food stamps. There are some rules.
There are lots of restrictions on what you can and can't buy with food stamps.
Yes,
but you can buy junk food with food stamps. Agreed.
Some junk food, yes.
Okay. One of the reasons you'll never hear her or the president push for only buying healthier food with food stamps, my opinion, is think about. I told your call screener.
Nobody cares when you told her.
Yeah,
go
exactly
ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a friend who owns a convenience store in a lower income neighborhood. He averages $3,000-$4,000 a day profit. Now, 70% of his business is paid for by people buying the junk food, basically, with food stamps.
That's hardly a representative sample, sir.
It's an example of Michelle Obama pushing to eat healthier, but you will never hear Michelle Obama.
That is why
that
she is pushing people to eat
we're
healthier.
Not buy junk food with taxpayers'
she,
money.
You understand that it's a suggestion that she's making a suggestion. She's not
right now by defending that people can buy junk food.
She's not. She's not ordering
stamps.
Restaurateurs to serve certain things. She is suggesting.
I'm suggesting that Michelle Obama will never speak out against people. She wants to speak out against obesity. She'll never. Speak out the person who's been on welfare for 5 years buying Pepsi Cola and
Mark,
Doritos
what's to say
welfare.
She's not talking to people on food stamps to eat healthier.
She's not talking to
how
them.
How do you know that? Yes, she
I'm
is
sorry.
Talking.
I didn't say she was specifically targeting them. I never said
okay,
that.
Okay, so when she says we should try to eat healthier, do you think that what in her thought bubble she's thinking, except you people on food stamps?
Buying junk food with food stamps. Do you agree or not?
Oh, dear God. Mark, you give me a headache in my eye.
He has an agenda, but, and he's not going to listen to what we have to say.
But healthy food costs more.
Yes, it does.
Food.
It absolutely
and
does.
Food stamps only go so far.
Yes, and that's, I think, part of what she's been talking about in general is how we can address this as a nation.
Changed, and there have been reporters who have tried to live on a food stamp budget for an entire month.
Uh-huh.
It is damn hard to do. All you can do is buy cheap white bread and just crap, because that's the cheaper stuff to buy.
Yes.
It's volume, not quality.
Yes.
If you're on food stamps, you don't have a lot of choices. So he's complaining that people have too much freedom.
By the way, with
food.
All of the problems we have in the country, is that's his issue?
That's his issue.
She's not socialist enough because she's not telling people what to eat.
I told you he had an agenda and he wasn't going to listen to what we have to say.
Stephen Madison.
People have too much freedom to buy junk food.
What a jerk.
these people that say food stamp people are buying junk food. They're buying substance. They're buying
sustenance. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and they're buying hamburger, and they're buying, you know, pasta. I mean, let's go through the food groups. They're not buying a bunch of chips and Coke.
Why aren't they going to whole paycheck with their food stamps?
29 minutes after
What's
the hour.
What's wrong with these people?
Right back with Right Wing World and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The bud is wide. Well, mine is too. Just watch your mouth, or I'll sit on you.
It is the...
You dated Weird Al Yankovic.
In fact, I did.
You did.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, and I got a fabulous parting gift.
You did? Did you get this album?
Swag.
He has swag in his garage. It's the only date I ever got a parting gift on.
What did you get?
I don't remember. I took a CD and a T-shirt or something. 1-800-STEPHANIE, more than he got. 1-800-STEPHANIE, the phone number toll free from anywhere.
There is that.
This hour brought to you by Ask Me. Mm-hmm. We all know all too well what happens when Republicans run the show. Apologies and favors for big oil and Wall Street schemes to privatize Social Security and hundreds of thousands more layoffs for our teachers, nurses, and firefighters. As we get closer in November, remember, history only repeats itself if you let it. Ask me. Our union peeps. All right, lots of folks want to respond to Food Stamp Man. Let's go to John in Chicago. Hello, John. Hi, John.
Hey, Steph Mooks, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, just another point with that guy. It shows that Republicans need to lie to make their point, because he said my friend owns a convenience store making $3,000 or $4,000 a day. Well, if this was true, I guess 7-Eleven and Quickie Mart would be the hottest stocks on Wall Street.
Yeah.
And 80% of the federal budget would be going to junk food stamps. I mean, why can't they even make a point without lying?
Yep, exactly. All right, it's like they need to lie to live. That's what they need.
They've got liabetes.
Exactly my point. Let's go to...
Lies! It's like you have to lie to live. You're a liabetic. You have liabetes. Twice a day you have to take a shot of insulin.
Kent in Wisconsin. Hello, Kent.
Hi, Stephanie. I think we were twins separated at birth.
Yes.
Because I started out having relationships with men, and I ended up discovering I like women better.
Oh, my God. All right, go ahead.
Wow.
Go ahead.
But about the convenience stores. You know, in a lot of neighborhoods, there aren't any decent stores, and Republicans have cut every service. People can't travel, around Detroit to get to a good grocery store or anything.
Right.
So it's hard.
Right. And, someone said, well, how about the farmer's market? The farmer's market doesn't take food stamps.
Yeah. Gosh. And you're not going to find a farmer's market in poorer areas where people are more likely to be on food stamps. You're going to find a whole bunch of fast food places.
Kurt in Jersey.
Good morning, Stephanie, everybody. The Obama administration is trying to stop people from drinking sugary drinks and soda and whatnot. They're trying to raise the taxes on sugary drinks that have no nutritional value. Yet the Council of Beverages, or some organization made by corporations that represents soda makers, is running ads every day saying that's going to hurt poor people, that poor people on a small budget have to buy sugary drinks and soda, is the Republican stance.
You can try to encourage people. I love John Boner, who was at the Ask Him Jim on Face the Nation about, do you think maybe you should stop smoking?
Yeah, Bob Schieffer, yeah. Who is a cancer survivor, was saying to him, don't you think you should...
He's like, the American people, you can be with me, do whatever you want.
Can't you tell American people what to eat, what to drink? Or, good God, some of them tell me to lay off of Rob Roy's, and then where will I be? Stop smoking, are you insane?
If I want to lay in a tanning bed for 10 hours straight smoking a pack of Camels, then you can't stop me.
You think I'm cranky now? Just sit me over here trying to get me to stop smoking and drinking. I'm at the top of my list.
Andrew in Rockville, Maryland.
Hey, guys. Quickly about food stamp guy. I'm 31 years old, and for as long as I can remember, that the fattier foods have always been the cheapest food.
Yep.
Now, I'm not right. sure. I've never had food stamps, so I'm not sure how it works dollar amount-wise. But if I had to stock my refrigerator, you know, for my family and my kids, and I'm on food stamps, I'm going to buy what's cheaper, and what's cheaper is going to be the fattier food.
Yep.
I mean, I can go in a grocery store now, I can say I want to eat healthy, but for me to just buy, let's say, a veggie burger might cost $5.
Oh,
for
yeah. me just, that's out of the question on food stamps.
For me to buy regular beef is $1.50. You do the math.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, that's, you know.
And a two-liter bottle of off-brand cola is going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than the same amount of milk.
Yep.
It's just a fact of consumerism.
Not that all people should be drinking milk.
By yeah, I was just going to say.
Well, but still.
Lactose
you know,
intolerant excluded.
Well, I mean, for children, you know, milk
Terrence.
Is kind of a requirement.
Mm-hmm. Terrence in Detroit.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. Go
how
ahead.
You doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just calling in. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Uh-oh. You're
I'm
good
just
taste.
Calling to tell you ain't nothing you say to these people they it's going to make any difference because these people just the bottom line is these people they don't like Obama because of his skin color.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Terrence, I said this earlier. I mean, when do you remember in our history parents taking their kids out of school if they're going to let the president talk? It's like, you know, he's the president of all of us. I don't, you know, you just can't ignore that there is something different about the kind of things that are being said about this president.
Yeah, because did they say that for the 8 years when George Bush was president?
No.
Did anybody was jumping up when he was trying to when Obama said something or Michelle said something, they're going to jump up and say, well, they're trying to control American life, socialism, communism. Or they're going to always come up with something. You know, the president had no business telling me what I should do.
Yes. It's clearly uppity to have the president tell your children anything.
And it's just a suggestion.
Kelly in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Kel.
Hi. I just want to add to the conversation about the food stamps and the convenience stores. I work at a convenience store right now. I work 4 days a week, and I'm up here in Maine. And we really, honestly, have a huge problem with it. I'm pretty much as liberal as they come. I mean, I bleed blue, but it really irritates me when I see a lot of abuse. I see a lot of people who they come in with their kids. They're buying milk with their food stamps, and then they buy, you know, coffee brandy with their cash. And you know that the milk is going, you know, to feed their alcohol problem. It's not going to their kids. They're buying their kids candy bars. They're buying their kids chips. And I get it. I'm on food stamps. I get it. It's hard to support yourself and your kids and to feed them healthily on food stamps.
Right.
But there is a lot of abuse. I can't speak.
Well, what, Kelly, what do you, how do you control that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, what?
I know that about a year or two ago up here in Maine, there was a dentist. I wish I could remember his name. I'm driving right now, so I don't even have Google access, who wanted to make it so you couldn't buy sodas and, you know, certain junk foods with your food stamps. I know, like, the WIC program, for example, which I have, you know, utilized when my kids were younger, there were certain things you could buy with it that were healthy,
right,
that were covered. And I know that one of you guys were joking, oh, well, more socialism, telling people what they can and can't buy. And it's not that. It's just I really think there should be some limits. And, you know.
Well, there are. I mean, Chris was saying there are some rules, correct? I mean, you obviously.
You can't buy, you know, brandy with your food stamps.
No, but you can buy brandy. Like I said, up here in Maine, you can buy brandy and cigarettes. You can buy liquor with your welfare, though. And that.
Well, welfare just comes in a check, right? That's
well, up here it comes in like a debit card,
right?
Deal.
Right, and so there's no restrictions on what can and can't
right.
be
right. I mean, right. Yeah, like, that's the thing. This is the problem with, you know what I mean? We're in America. This is the problem with, you know, the First Amendment. It's designed to protect some speech you really, really don't like, some ideas you really, really don't like. So there, you know.
Yeah, but which may be why, you know, the First Lady is trying to educate families that, hey, feeding your kids chips and candy bars isn't good.
Yep. Don in Rockford, Illinois. Hello, Don.
Good segue. That's exactly what she's doing. You know, I've called a few times in the last year. I'm very conservative. I probably won't vote for Obama, not because of skin tone, but because of politics. But Mrs. Obama is 100% correct. She's doing a wonderful brilliantly wonderful thing. Why can't we look across the aisle and say, wow, that's fantastic?
Right. Well, vote for him because it'll make her happy.
No.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Kim in Columbus, who works in food stamps. Hi, Kim.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I was calling to address his thing. To the previous caller from Maine, you can use cash assistance. That's what she was speaking of, and you can. There's no restriction on that because it is just like a debit card. You can swipe what you want to, but with a food stamp card, you can't buy alcohol. You can't buy prepared meals, anything that's already hot food. Here in Columbus, you have to buy groceries, and so we have Whole Foods here. You can't buy maybe a piece of chicken and some bread out of Whole Foods with the money that you get, but you can go to any of the corner stores. Like one caller said, that's what's in the hood. I just moved out of what was considered the hood, and there wasn't a grocery store for, I know, at least 2 miles. You're talking about people who are on the bus. They can't always get to Kroger or whatever grocery store you have, so yes, it's limited. And working in food stamps, I do agree. They should not be able to buy Doritos and Ho-Hos and Ding-Dongs and all those types of things, but, you know, you have to feed your family. When you've got 6 kids and $400, you make the best that you can out of what you get.
Right. Yep, exactly.
And sometimes, you know, white bread is all you can afford.
Yes.
And that feeds the kids.
Speaking of people nearly on subsistence living like you two, because of the pittance that I pay you, Stephanie Miller would like to apologize on behalf of the Stephanie Miller show, because this story made me sad. I know it doesn't say the names, but I'm sure it was you two. Two accused of illegally making sperm available on the web.
I got a cat.
I'm sorry, times are hard, so to speak, and you guys have had to resort to this. I apologize.
I got to put kibble in my cat's mouth.
How do you do?
Two men charged with, I'll tell you the story. Two men charged with making a profit by illegally making sperm available. Not illegally making it. I'm not sure you can make that illegal, but making it illegally available on the internet have appeared in court.
Where do you put it in the computer? So I'm asking, how do you
which port did that go in?
You put that in a USB port?
I don't think that's going to fit in a USB port. If it does, you got problems.
They ran a website that provided women who wanted to conceive with access to anonymous sperm donors. Prosecutors say they ran the company from the basement of their home, and the two men did not have a license to procure or distribute sperm. Do you two?
Wow.
No.
I'm getting one.
Maybe I can produce it from my hard drive.
Do you need a license? Hey! Do you need a license for that? Who knew? Oh, what's the test like for that? Wait a minute. Do you have a license to procure that? Or distribute it? Come on now. All right. 45 minutes.
Like a fire hose.
What?
Nothing.
Distribute that gave me
like
a visual I really did not want in my head.
Distribute it like one of those sprinklers, you know, the football field. It just goes all over the place.
By the way, you can't use food stamps for that.
No.
It's good protein. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mama will be on the Joy Behar Show on CNN Headline News, which airs virtually every 40 seconds. There's a lot.
After issues.
Yes, and then on the Ed Show on MSNBC as well. Whoring all day long. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Tommy sent us an actual Sarah Palin sentence.
Yes.
That
actual
he would like
sentence.
Okay. Jim Ward to read as Sarah Palin, Jim.
I tell my parents all the time there is no better gift that they could have given me than besides such an appreciation for family and for faith and patriotism. It's been an upbringing in America, in this most perfect state in America, Alaska, where we are independent and we have the pioneering spirit that more of America should hopefully get to look into the state and understand and really try to emulate, because it's that pioneering spirit that America needs more of, also too, supplementally in addition.
Oh, my God. God.
Huh? Thank you, Jim. Was there a period in there?
No. No punctuation at all. Just,
the only thing Jim added was the also to an addition at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it was an actual Sarah Palin sentence. I think she was fed a lot of snowballs as a child, is what I think. Something spongy and pink. I think her brain probably looks like a snowball.
But you know what?
A spongy marshmallow confection.
She's not even from Alaska. She's from Idaho.
Yeah.
She was born in Idaho. Yeah. Why? I don't understand why she considers herself an Alaska native, because she's not.
She's not.
Manfred with some guess the quotes. Jim, who said going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car? Said that.
Gilbert Gottfried.
No, it's funny, though. I don't know. Just somebody in Vanford sent a bunch of quotes that are funny. Who said, the last thing I want to do is hurt you, but it's still on the list?
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, that's a good one, though. No, I don't know. But whoever Manfred sent me this. Okay. Who said, a bank is a place that will lend you money if you can prove you don't need it? Who said that?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, I don't know. Somebody that Manfred sent a bunch of funny quotes. Thank you, Manfred. All right. Tim Geithner on Monday defended the White House position that decade-long tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans should expire. He said, we welcome recent indication that Republicans won't hold middle-class tax cuts hostage to their desire to have us go out and borrow $700 billion from our children just to make permanent tax cuts for the top 2% of earners in this country. If they mean what they say, there's no reason to delay moving ahead with tax relief for the middle class. Thank you. He also talked about the small business bill.
This bill will accomplish two big things. It will cut taxes for small businesses, and it'll make loans credit more available to small businesses. And it provides this boost for job creation without adding to our deficits.
And then he went back in his tree and made cookies. There's a small business. That's a definition
of small.
His head
is still, he's smart, but it's very square. He has a Gumby-like
head. He has pointy
head.
Ears.
He has a Gumby head. He does.
No, I'm talking about the Keebler elves.
Mm. Yeah,
Gumby.
I was talking about Tim Geithner has a square head. He has a Gumby shaped head, in my opinion.
Okay,
but we were talking about the Keebler elves.
I understand. I was talking about how Tim Geithner looks like Gumby to me.
Okay.
He was once a little green ball of cash. Okay, let's move on.
Oh, that's where you're heading.
Senator Joe Lieberman.
I want them to have the confidence that we're not going to raise their taxes, so they go out and spend all that money. And what happens when they spend? Jobs are created. That's what we need.
Oh, I see. So that's why there's all these jobs now.
That's why we need tax cuts for billionaires, because they're going to go out there and create jobs. If only we just give them these tax breaks forever, because it's worked so well over the past 8 years.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids, and see what's...
Have I mentioned my hemorrhoids are killing me?
That sounds like he's got...
He does. Know, he sounds like he's in some sort of ass pain.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
Ass pain?
Alex Castellanos.
There is this sense in this country that Barack Obama does not believe in American exceptionalism. That he says, you know, every country's exceptional. Greece and... That's not an American idea.
Alex,
and that's what the challenge... That's
very
quickly
done. It's disturbing.
Yeah. The Germans believed in German exceptionalism for a while. That didn't work out so well for them.
I love that he's a citizen of the world thing. You know that, who that's a direct quote from? Ronald Reagan and a bunch of other...
Well, here I go again.
American presidents that have said, I'm a citizen of the world.
Lieberman has butt hurt.
Right. Move forward. That was in the past. So Brian Kilmeade.
So if the administration's looking at these polls and Republicans looking at these polls, they say the majority of the country, including most independents, don't mind seeing those tax cuts evaporate for the so-called very rich. If you're making $250,000, you're not very rich. You're already giving away 40% of your income.
What? Really?
What?
Really?
Well, if you're in Kansas.
Okay. I would like to see Brian Kilmeade ask, you know, compare himself to, you know, the cameraman that is has the camera on him or the lighting guy.
You're not rich if you make $250,000 a year. Okay. All right.
Yeah, see if the cameraman thinks that Brian Kilmeade is rich.
Dare I say they seem a little elitist and out of touch on the Fox News.
Good heavens, where would you get that idea?
He seems to
Manuel,
like he eats arugula.
Another mojito, please. And don't skip on the line. Or mint.
Rush Limbaugh. Mint.
We have to understand, we face a crossroads in the country. There are a lot of people who think we are on our last legs as a representative republic. And that there has never been a greater opportunity than right now to contrast conservatism and what really works and what's going to roll back this government and make it smaller and less intrusive. And we don't need to play around with rhinos and just get the Republicans in power, because look where that got us in 2006. You need conservatives. People are genuinely interested in saving the future of the country.
Like the Bush administration.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, Glenn, back on the radio.
I view my audience differently. We have 30 million people in our footprint. Well, that's 10% of the population. This 10% is going to be the shelter for the other 90%.
Oh. What?
This 10% is going... Out of this 10% will be the leaders of tomorrow. This 10% will be the ones that when all hell goes to handbasket and everybody on the left and the right are yelling and arguing and trying to pull you into camps...
What?
Maybe literal.
Oh, no. It's only Glenn Beck's audience is there. They're on our umbrella from the
Ella.
Storm.
Ella.
Sure to come.
We can stand under their umbrella.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Delusional much?
Charles Crowley.
The Obama administration proposes a classic liberal approach, which is, well, we'll tax you. We'll take the money, and then we may lend some of it back with interest if you're really nice and particularly obsequious in asking in your application for a loan.
By you mean people making $1 million
right.
a year.
Okay.
Or more.
I need a little bit
here. Here we have the economy, as we've been talking about, health care reform, these major issues on which Obama has principal responsibility, in trouble with the voters. And they're trying to make the House Minority Leader the issue in this election, the boogeyman of this election. And the case against him seems to be that he has friends who are lobbyists, as if Democrats don't. That these people give him money, as if Democrats don't receive similar money.
We're not making him a boogeyman. We're making him a tan man. The voter. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Jim Ward, Chris Lavoie, and Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.